This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Do you know your mother? Sounds like a silly question, I know, but think about it. Our mothers are the people who often know and love us the best. They are physically and emotionally closest to us. And yet, children almost never really know who their mothers are as people. They are, in effect, strangers. A group of some of the South's most talented writers responded to a prompt to go on a journey of discovery into the lives and psyches of their own mothers. Their essays are anthologized in a new book, Mothers and Strangers, Essays on Motherhood from the New South. Samia Saregedin co-edited the book and contributed a piece to that as well. Samia, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Lovely to be with you.
And you brought a very good friend who hasn't been here in a while either, Michael Malone, best-selling and award-winning writer. His essay is featured in the anthology as well. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, Samia, tell us how you got the idea for this project.
Well, the prompt really for me was the death of my mother. I think death often, a couple of years ago, gives you the distance and perspective to start seeing your mother as a woman in her own right, but also as a product of her place and time and how she fit in or stood out. And so when my mother died, I thought about all that. And as soon as I came back to North Carolina, I asked a good friend, Lee Smith, and another good friend, Margaret Rich, to come to lunch, and I floated the idea of a little collection of essays. And they were both incredibly enthusiastic, and we set about compiling lists of wish lists of people we knew were wonderful writers, but also deep thinkers that we'd love to have write for us, people like Michael and Jill McCorkle. And we were so fortunate because the theme found a wonderful response with everyone we approached. No one said no. In fact, we had an embarrassment of riches. And today we have 27 wonderful contributors to our anthology.
And you as well. So talk about had you already embarked on that journey? Had you started to find out who your mother was?
I think so, because for me it was the discovery of her secret journals and diaries that I knew existed, but she would never let me see, she said, until she died. So when she died, I saw her in a new way. And I think it's not, you don't necessarily have to wait for a parent's death. Several of the writers in our anthology, their parents are alive. But it's just taking the time and the distance as an adult to see them as a whole rather than see them through the eyes of a child. And that helps you sometimes to realign yourself in the family dynamics. You might have been someone like me who was always feeling closer to a father and whose father died young, so I kept that idealized vision of him. But then understanding my mother, reading her life through her own eyes, I realized perhaps that I didn't quite do her justice. So that was really the journey that all of us, even those of us who thought they knew their parent very, very well, discovered new things.
Michael Malone, you did not have a journal. You had 6 photographs to work from.
Yes, and today we have, I think my granddaughter has had a pictures taken of her since the day she was born, has her own, she's 3 years old, has her own iPhone now, and there are probably 10, 20,000, and I had these few. I found it fascinating that so many of the writers, and it was wonderful to read people that I know personally who wrote about their mothers, but I didn't know those things as they were often discovering them themselves. They didn't know their mother until they started reflecting on it, and that's certainly what happened to me, and it happened through the photographs.
Well, give us the sketch. Describe the mother who you knew growing up, and then we'll talk about the woman you discovered.
The woman I knew growing up was the woman who was always there, and if I'd just done what she said, listen, honey, just listen. My mother was deaf. I think it was one reason I became a novelist. She was a single mother with 4 children. She was ill, and she would say, listen for me and be my ears. So I'm always listening, which is where my fiction comes from. But she was at Peabody Conservatory of Music as a young woman when she went suddenly deaf. and therefore the career that she had hoped for. Other tragic things, like my perfidious father left her suddenly. And
with four children.
Unfortunately for him. And she, to me, seemed to be this incredibly noble person who had had a unhappy, unfortunate life, but had borne up in a stoic, noble sort of way. And when I discovered in looking at the photographs, one right before she was to die, in which she is doing a flamingo dance and laughing merrily, how the essence of her was joy. And that joy never failed her. And that my father, who had seemed this, he was, I say he was Irish, as if lying were the only way to prove that. So
he had a way with the truth. Or he had
so,
a way with
him. And Handlin Sen is dedicated to him. But that gift of that joyfulness and exuberance was coming from her.
Well, it's interesting because as you read through your essay, it's clear that she had always that she wasn't the one complaining, that she wasn't the one who created the narrative of the poor, suffering woman.
Not at all.
But that's what emerged in your mind, and
yes,
that's what you were living with. And so all the while she's giving you this advice, and in fact, you never forgave your father. She constantly encouraged you to do that, which,
yes,
you know, should be a sign that...
Not until his deathbed did I get past.
I want to talk more about the revelation and what it meant to you, but what do you think you were missing all that time?
Or how? And I wasn't missing her love, the fact that Maureen, my wife, said to me, "This is amazing. All four of you have come up to me separately and told me that your mother loved you the most." And what she would say was, "Everyone has a glass. I don't believe in half full or half empty. I believe in full, but the glasses are different sizes." So.
You also, in your essay, make references to several of your novels where you make direct or indirect references to either your mother or your father. Tell me how your understanding of your mother influenced your writing.
I think that was one of the revelations that doing this essay. I haven't written a memoir, and I used to write more reviews and essays than I do now. I live in a world of fiction. And Flaubert was right. He was Madame Bovary and all the other characters, and so am I. I'm all the characters. Right. But I very much thought Handlin Sen was my father's book, and he is the one to whom it's dedicated. Thank you for the gift. I thought Time's Witness, a very serious book about the death penalty and capital punishment, was my mother's book. To her, she believed in justice, but I learned that Handling Sin was coming from her as well.
The novel. How so?
First of all, it's her family who are the humorously, richly, crazily profligate and careless about everything from their legs that they lose to diabetes to their children and so forth. So in that way. But the spirit of forgiveness, that love is a prayer, that you don't have to go to Hollywood or New York City, honey. Just look around you. You can see everything and find everything.
Because forgive me for interrupting, but you were grousing about this little tiny house and this little tiny burg,
absolutely.
And when am I going to hit the big time mom?
And actually it was Reynolds Price who helped me see my mother, literally, who had been dead for like 30 years, when we first came to Duke. he invited us to dinner, and I saw my mother sitting in the corner of the room, smiling and laughing. And I said, oh, my God, my mother's there. And what she said to me was, I told you it could happen in Durham. And and Reynolds said, he didn't say, take this man away, he's insane. He said, oh, I'm looking, but I wish I could see her. And you can, as she said, if you just look, you can see. If you just listen, you can hear.
There is another description of your mother that came from the mouth of a minister in one of your novels that you reflect on.
Yes, in the last Noel, she is the basis for a remark that a young minister makes at a rock concert of a Irish rock star who's sort of the flamboyant center of the novel, and was supposed to be dead the first time you saw her, but I fell in love, so she was stayed in the whole novel and could never get herself murdered. But the line was asked, what's the difference in a star and a saint? He says that the stars are those who draw light to them. Saints are those that the light shines through so they see the other. And they're looking at the other and illuminate the other. In the essay, I quote the one thing I ever asked my father and he ever said about my mother. What, if you had to say one thing, Dad, usually we sat in silence, but if he has to say one thing about our mother, what would you say? And he said, she was the only person I ever knew who never forgot the person for their function. Hmm. You know, whether it was a waiter or whatever. So,
well, your father does play a role in this. He comes up frequently. You say he was in the discussions around the family long after he left. Samia, fathers play a big part in this as well, in all of the essays, or most of the essays in your collection.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Frank, for giving me a good way to describe this, which is that the parents come as a set. So our essays about our mothers are inevitably also about our fathers, because that relationship plays such a large role in making the mother the way she is. Some of the fathers in our collection were abusive, others were supportive. I was very lucky. I had an absolutely wonderful father, very gentle, very kind, very understanding. And perhaps for that reason, my mother was the more critical one, the more volatile one. But then you learn to look at this relationship again, especially through reading her diaries, and realize that in her case, she married young to a very powerful, very wealthy man, expected to have a perfect life, and then was faced with a revolution and destitution and very hard times. And she dealt with it, and she protected her children as much as she could from their circumstances, from their surroundings. And we colluded in that to a large extent as well. So yes, the fathers play perhaps an inevitably very large role in each one of these stories.
Michael Malone, you ultimately did reconcile your feelings about your father. Do you think, and your mother would have loved it,
yes,
as you say, this happened long after she passed. Do you think she influenced that?
Absolutely, because she pestered me about it the whole time, in the years before she passed, and finally got me there from maybe she was in the corner of his hospice room.
She may have been there. She may have been there when you held his
hand. Come on, you can do it, honey. You're almost there. So,
you talked about the revelation this was for you, going on this journey and essentially discovering your mother. And I wonder what that does for a writer who has to sort of tap into so much of their own underworld. Did this reveal anything to you about your own writing?
Yes, and it's a different, you know, some of the people who contributed to this had written memoirs or essays. I as I said, live in fiction. I love doing this collection. I'm a total believer that making art's like making love. It's better if you don't do it by yourself. And and the novel is a very solitary process. Yeah. So I was fascinated both by what I was learning about my fiction and about my mother and what everybody else. And using letters often, using photographs, using objects, using the transition from a beautiful, fashionable mother to one who's elderly and impaired. Using how a mother like Hal Crowther forms the taste of a person, or how a mother shares an experience. Stephen Petros is his mm-hmm. cancer mm-hmm. and her cancer. And for me, it was my spirit is much more. I have some of my father's bad ways, but my spirit is coming through me. Through her. So.
Talking with Michael Malone, the writer, and Samia Saragadeen, who is also an author and a writer. Samia is an author and co-editor of Mothers and Strangers, Essays on Motherhood from the New South, and best-selling author and award-winning writer. Michael Malone, thank you so much for being here on this program.
Our pleasure.
Great pleasure.
You can hear Samia Saragadeen and Lee Smith and other local authors read from Mothers and Strangers at the Orange County Public Library in Hillsborough on Wednesday, May 8th. We have that at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.